Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And today is a, well, I would say, one of the landmark days in my life. Nothing will ever top my wedding or the births of my children, but this is pretty close. I finally have in my hands the first copy of Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. And what was interesting is that the book came moments after I finished reading an article in USA Today, which is titled, As Atheists Know, You Can Be Good Without God. It's written by Jerry Coyne, who's a professor in the Department of Ecology and Evolution at the University of Chicago. So I finish reading this article and I get the book, and I think how incredibly significant those two events coming at nearly the same point in time are. Because here you have an article which takes on the Bible in the most violent and dramatic fashion. And a book, on the other hand, demonstrating that the Bible is, in fact, the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. In other words, these are the words of God. Now, what's chilling about the article is that not only Coyne, but I would suppose millions of people around the world fall for this kind of rhetoric. He falls for his own rhetoric. They fall for this kind of rhetoric as well. The article starts out with Jerry Coyne being involved in this heroic act of altruism. He talks about his heroism, his altruism. When you get to the middle of the argument that he's asserting in the piece, you have a description of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is described as a pretty vile person. In fact, so vile that he not only approves slavery, but he approves the beating of slaves. And then you get to the end of the article, and the takeaway is this: in essence, Jerry Coyne's morality is better than the morality of Jesus Christ. And so he says, should we be afraid that a morality based on our genes and our brains is somehow inferior to one handed down from above? Not at all. In fact, it's far better, because secular morality has a flexibility and a responsiveness to social change that no God-given morality could ever have. Secular morality is what pushes religion to improve its own dogma on issues such as slavery and the treatment of women. And remember, he has just castigated Christ not only as sanctioning slavery, but as sanctioning the beating of slaves. By the way, this is all getting to a point, because he's using the Bible as his basis for saying that's what Jesus did. So obviously, he does not believe that God has spoken, and he can't properly answer the attendant question, if God has spoken, what has God said? Because he simply doesn't know how to read the Bible. How can you possibly come up with Jesus sanctioning not only slavery, but the beating of slaves. But anyway, going back to the article, he says that it is far better to be moral because you've worked it out for yourself in conjunction with your group. So in other words, for Jerry Coyne, his morality as a secular atheist is better than biblical morality that's being imposed on people because he's worked it out as a secular atheist in conjunction with his group. Think about that for a moment. Isn't it far better, he says, to work out morality by yourself or in conjunction with your group? We don't have to think back very far. At one time in the mid-20th century, one half the human race was subjected to the grand atheistic experiment. Think Mao, who in conjunction with his group worked out a cultural revolution in which 70 million, perhaps, died of all kinds of things ranging from famine to re-education camps. Or what about Pol Pot? He and his group, they were called the Khmer Rouge, attempted to work out an egalitarian society and in the process decimated one quarter of Cambodia in about 3.5 years. The thing that I find particularly troubling about this article is that when you read it without discernment skills, you can end up believing it. He points out that God is responsible for genocide. He misreads a passage in 2 Kings and says, was God being moral when, after some, note this word, children made fun of the prophet Elijah's bald head, he made bears rip 42 of them to pieces? Well, is that true? Is that something that you can substantiate? Is that what's really going on in the passage? Or again, do you have a benighted secularist who, by the way, in the article also lauds Darwin, not just evolution, but Darwin as a person? And certainly he knows full well, having read Darwin, that Darwin was a racist and a sexist. You don't have to come up with conjecture. It's a plain reading of Darwin's work. I mean, it's taking his words in the sense in which they were intended. It is reading Darwin for all he's worth. The point is, we today need to know how to answer these kinds of accusations, which is precisely what the book Has God Spoken does. It provides you with a memorable means to know that the Bible is, in fact, divine. And in the process, teaches you to read the Bible for all it's worth. And this book, again, I am so excited about it because of the way it's laid out. At the end of every section, you have memorable snapshots so that you have the sections themselves broken up in such a way that you can remember the information. There are icons to designate each part in distinction from each other part. There's a laminated flip chart, as it were. It's actually not a flip chart in this case, but it is a laminated one-page chart that lays out the whole book at a glance. And I want to put this book into your hands. It's 3 years in the making. It's based on two decades of research and reflection, and it's finally off the press. Now, here's the deal. You can't find this book in bookstores right now. I've worked out a situation with the publisher so that only our constituency, people listening to this broadcast, people hearing about it through our many ministry outreaches, can get the book. In other words, you can only get it from us. And I've done that because in that way, all the resources 100% go to this ministry. Not to me, not to a bookstore, not to a publisher. They go to this ministry. This book is the achievement of a life goal for me. And it's a definitive answer to what is surely the most important question that our world is facing today. And again, some of today's most influential are violently attacking the Bible's veracity. And I think that's a fair way to put it. When you say Jesus Christ sanctions the beating of slaves, not just slavery, but the beating of slaves, that's a pretty violent accusation against the creator of the universe. In fact, if he did that, he would not be divine. He would not be the creator of all things. In this kind of a circumstance, in this kind of a worldview dominance, it seems, certainly, in the West, where every facet, it seems, of the Christian life is being attacked in one way or another, we need to be able to demonstrate that the Bible is the Word of God. Without that assurance, Christianity would have no more authority for faith and practice than Islam or Mormonism or a host of other misguided movements. So in the book, again, I counter the contentions of Bible attackers and clearly show that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess, is not wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. And I can say with confidence that this is, to date, the most significant book I've written. And I'm asking you to make a sacrificial investment in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, prayerfully giving what you can today. And when you do, I'll send you the book, Has God Spoken? And here's what we're going to do. For your gift, we'll send you the book. If you can give $100 or more, I'll personalize a copy of Has God Spoken? And you got to see it to believe it. Quite frankly, it's that beautiful. I'll send you a copy of Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Or if you join the monthly ministry support team, I'll send you a copy of Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. So again, you probably realize that radio isn't free. In fact, CRI relies every month on God's provision through good friends like you for the resources to put the Bible Answer Man on the air, providing clear, immediate scriptural answers to hard questions of believers and skeptics alike. And of course, I've mentioned this every summer, but boy, is it true, particularly this summer, it seems. The summer is a valley time for ministries. In August, I mean, you hit pretty close to rock bottom. So whatever you can give will equip your brothers and sisters to stand firm and challenge non-believers with the intellectual and spiritual reliability of God's Word, because truth matters. The Bible, like a rock of Gibraltar, embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith, shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. These kinds of articles, they're prominent. I mean, this is a big piece. Are in magazines, there are newspapers, they're all over the place. In fact, I have another article, and this came out of USA Today as well in front of me, and that That article has a story about Jeffs. Some of you will remember Jeffs, Warren Jeffs. He's a polygamous leader who says he heeds God's word. In fact, the article closes with him saying, can we just throw it away and say, God has not spoken? In other words, here's a guy that is using the Bible, I might say, abusing the Bible to violate people. The book Has God Spoken? It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as always, pick up the phone, talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Right after the station break, we'll be back with your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you with the tools to defend your faith. In the cover article of the current issue of the journal, Hank Hanegraaff reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context to apply them to Jesus Christ. While many Christians have stumbled over this objection, the answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today and find the key that unlocks messianic prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS. God has spoken, and the Lights flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. Available from the Christian Research Institute is our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today on the web at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. some of today's most influential public figures ferociously attack the Bible, claiming it is a storehouse of fable and fantasy. If the skeptics are right, Christianity is no more credible than any other religion. And although Christians know they're not following cleverly invented fables, most believers cannot defend the truth and explain why they believe what they believe. 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Has God Spoken?, will enable anyone to refute the skeptics with persuasive reasons for believing that God has indeed spoken in the pages of Holy Scripture. For your generous gift to the Christian Research Institute this month, we'll send you Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Now, let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, Has God Spoken? Answers a lot of these issues brought up by Jerry Coyne in today's edition of USA Today. Called The Forum, that's the section. And again, the title of the article is Atheists Know You Can Be Good Without God. We'll directly address some of the issues I brought up on subsequent editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, not today, but stay tuned for that. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up, let's talk to Robert. He's listening on KCIV in Fresno, California. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Hank. I have a question for which I actually really want to get your opinion about, and it's in regards to the incarnation of the Lord Jesus, that, as I understand it, when he was born, he set, I don't know if I'm using the proper term, he set his deity aside, so first of all, that we could look upon him without dying. But my question is that I see him so active in the Old Testament, and not only spiritually, but physically active. An example, wrestling with Jacob, when Jacob says he looked upon God, the face of God, and lived. Do you believe that by any chance that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, may have actually set his deity aside before his birth?
Well, a couple of things. I don't agree that Jesus ever set his deity aside. Nor does Orthodox Christianity hold to that notion. What Jesus Christ did in the incarnation is he set aside the prerogative for independently using his divine attributes.
Well, that's what I meant. I mean, I know he was always God. That never changed.
Yeah, and certainly what you see in the Old Testament when you see the angel of Yahweh or some of the illustrations that you alluded to, In the prologue to your question, when you see those kinds of Christophanies in the Old Testament, it's not an example of setting aside a divine prerogative, but actually acting on divine prerogative. In other words, Jesus, the Creator, now temporarily takes on the manifestation of physical form or manifests in physical form, which is something that only someone who has the creative power can accomplish. So it couldn't be accomplished by a demon. It couldn't be accomplished by anyone except a divine being. And there is only one God who is revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. And that one God has the creative power to appear in a Christophany, to appear in a theophany, or to allow an angel to appear in the Old Testament in an angelophany. So I don't think it is a setting aside of a divine prerogative, but it is acting on divine prerogative.
So you're saying it was totally different then from the incarnation?
I am saying that, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
because one is temporary and the other is forever. Remember that. Jesus Christ temporarily appeared in human form in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, when he comes in the incarnation, he is forever Theanthropus, the God-man. So he's forever one person with two natures, 100% divine and 100% human.
Okay. Yes, I always try and keep my mind open, except for the bare essentials, as for Jesus being who he is and always was. But as far as other things, like I was been talking about, I always try and keep an open mind, because I want, I'm only interested in knowing the truth. And so whatever, I'm always, my mind is always open to somebody else revealing the truth to me. So, but, and so I appreciate your input on this very much.
Thank you, Robert. And again, as I counsel everyone, test all things in light of Scripture. Hold fast to that which is good. I am certainly not the final court of arbitration. The Bible is most certainly that very thing. And therefore, you test the answers of fallible human beings in light of the infallible repository. But again, that entails learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. It has God spoken is an excellent resource in that regard. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ron, listening on the web in Prescott, Arizona. Hi, Ron.
Good evening, Hank.
Good evening.
Could you go through your explanation as to whether or not a believer, a true believer, can lose his salvation or forfeit it or give it up or give it back?
Well, Christians are divided on whether a Christian can lose their salvation. I say no, they cannot lose their salvation. When Jesus Christ said you must be born again, he didn't say you must be born again and again and again, which is to say, when you're born again, you have everlasting life. It's not something that happens sometime after you die or at the moment that you die. It happens at the moment of conversion and then stretches on throughout the eons of time. So from my perspective, you can't lose your salvation, which is why you read it in books like Philippians, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Or the assurance that you have in 1 Corinthians 1, which promises that Christ will keep you strong to the end. Or Jude 24, which guarantees that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault. And many other passages could be pointed to, including Ephesians, which provides the surety that you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So I always say God's trees are evergreen.
Could you briefly touch on Charles Templeton, the Canadian evangelist who gave up his faith? How would you explain him?
Well, I can't take an anecdote and explain it necessarily. Now, Lee Strobel got to meet him before he died, and
okay.
I've had some in-depth conversations with Lee about his experiences with Templeton. But my sense is this, that from a biblical standpoint, we would have looked at all kinds of people and said, "Wow, I want to be like that guy." And we would have thought that person is a genuine born-again believer and been dead wrong. And, of course, the quintessential case would be Judas, where we'd looked at Judas and said, this is a guy that's in the inner circle of Jesus Christ. And we would have said, I want to be like Judas. He drives out demons. He performs miracles. He's in Christ's inner circle. And we would have looked at a snapshot in time and seen Peter betray Christ with vile oaths, and we would have said, man, that guy's a wretch. He was with Christ, and now when Christ is in trouble, he turns on him. What a hypocrite. And yet, Jesus saw the real Peter. He also saw the real Judas, and he called Judas a devil. And to Peter, he eventually said, after his resurrection, feed my lambs 3 times. So we would have got it wrong. And my point here is we look at the outward appearance, and there are people who are professors. In other words, they profess faith in Jesus Christ, but they are not possessors. They do not possess true saving faith because they're ultimately more concerned about what's on the master's table than the master himself.
So you would say it's a case of Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Where the Lord says, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons, and perform many miracles? And I will say to them, depart from me, cursed, I never knew you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would say. In fact, yeah. I would say that maybe when Jesus was saying that, foremost in his mind was Judas.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's how I look at it. I just wanted to see how you stood on that, because I know there's a lot of people out there, a lot of Christians, a lot of pastors who say you can lose it, you can give it up, you can turn it back. And they always use Charles Templeton as their prime example.
Yeah. Well, again, remember, this is an in-house debate. So, it doesn't mean it's not important, but it's not a deal breaker.
Okay. Thank you, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Dan on the web in Pennsylvania. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. First-time caller. I listen to you pretty much every day on my phone here on the web, podcast.
Thank you.
I also appreciate your interviews with Dr. Dembski.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I do have some insights into day six. I want to get your comments on that. I am an older Earth creationist, and I kind of look at it. A lot of people say, well, your science is trumping what the Bible says. But I think, as you do as well, that there's some things in the Bible that can support, at least what I see, support a longer than a 24-hour day, especially day six. Genesis 2, obviously, the living creatures are created animals, Adam is made, there's a mandate of dominion, plants are becoming a food source, there's instructions, you know, God gives instructions to Adam about eating a certain tree, cultivating the garden, naming, classifying the animals, taking authority over them, that involves exploring a lot of their anatomy to do that, and then, of course, declaring Adam's need for a suitable helper, which implies that Adam feels a sense of loneliness. Obviously, God's performing surgery, sleep, you know, biopsy, whatever you want to call it, and then finally creating Eve and then entering a marriage relationship. I was wondering if it would be too much reading into the text if we could say that almost Adam had three careers, gardening, zoology, and even developing his marriage, and squeezing all that into a 24-hour day seems to be a stretch for me personally. I just want to get your comments on that.
Yeah, I certainly don't negate anything that you just said. What I've typically said in this case, in the circumstance, Dan, is that I feel like the age question isn't substantially answered by the Bible. I do think that there are things that you can look at like that. Or, for example, you can look at the genealogies in Genesis and realize that the genealogies are not complete. We know that for sure just by comparing Scripture with Scripture. So I think certainly there are some clues in the Bible, but ultimately I don't think chronology is the point. And in talking to Dembski, or as you mentioned, listening to him, you have this very wonderful distinction he makes between chronology and kairos. Time from the perspective of God's purposes and chronological time. So my view is that if you want to answer the chronological question, probably the biblical text isn't the best place to go, but that does not negate anything that you said, because certainly there are clues, and we have to take those clues seriously, and certainly you've just done that. Appreciate your call. I'm going to have to leave it at that because I am coming up to a station break. All this month, we're going to be talking about Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. As we answer your questions, what about this claim that there are more mistakes in manuscript copies of the Bible than there are words in the New Testament? That's a popular claim today. Turns out to be absolutely a trumped-up charge. Talk about that in my new book. It's available. Check it out on the web, equip.org. Be right back.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program, where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment.
spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin?, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Apocalypse Code audiobook is now available from the Christian Research Institute. Hank Hanegraaff reads the entire unabridged audiobook on MP3 CD. The Apocalypse Code will give you a better understanding of the end times, but will also teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. It will show you the key to understanding the book of Revelation is found in the rest of Scripture. Order the Apocalypse Code audiobook on MP3 CD or MP3 download directly from our website at equip.org. Just go to equip.org/audiobooks. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I got to mention that when you get the Apocalypse Code, the MP3 version, or you download, you get this music composed and performed by Daniel Record, who works at the Christian Research Institute. In fact, he runs this whole technical mumbo-jumbo we've got here, which I can't figure out. But anyway, he composed this music. It's absolutely mind-blowing. You got to hear this. I mean, it's brilliant. The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today, is available right now, again, through MP3 download, or you can get the discs themselves, play it in your car if you get an MP3 player, wherever else you have an MP3 player. I'm listening to it again right now and thoroughly enjoying it. It's funny, you wrote it read a long time ago, but I'm back into it. And I'm really excited about recording Has God Spoken. That's going to be available in the future whenever I get that done, but I'm starting to work on it this week. And if you don't have the book, get the book for your gift. I'll send you Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. And do remember that for your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy for you, a family member, or a friend, or when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. Again, the book available You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000 CRI, the only place you can get the book right now. Remember, all this month, right here, Christian Research Institute, Bible Answer Man broadcast, equip.org. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Rob. He's listening on KSIV, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm not really all that great, really, but I'm away from the Lord right now. I've been involved in things I should be doing. I'm getting ready to go to a Christian rehab-type place. I've been doing drugs, and I want to know if you think the Lord would give me another chance to come back to Him.
Oh, my goodness, Rob. He came for you and me. He came for imperfect people. Certainly, He loves you. I mean, look, the Christian church, the entrance requirements into the church are not, I'm perfect, I'm doing everything right, I'm no longer addicted to drugs. The entrance requirements are to say, I am a sinner, I'm hopelessly lost, I have no help but you, Jesus Christ.
Well, I know I'm in the past, but I've just gotten away from Him. I lived one for a couple of years, and I'm just away from Him now, and all this crazy stuff that's coming on the world, you know, about the deficit and everything's kind of hit the world, and I'm worried about what's going to happen, you know?
Well, Rob, the one who created the world, who has every moment and every circumstance in His hand, loves you with an everlasting love. He loved you so much, Rob, knowing exactly what you are and who you are, and I put myself in the same boat. He loved you so much that He, at one point in human history, lay in the pool of His own blood so that you could be reconciled to Him for all eternity. So certainly, He will pick you up and carry you through the deepest, darkest days ahead. He will love you with an everlasting love. As long as you recognize you're a sinner, are willing to repent of your sin, that doesn't mean that everything's cleaned up. It means that you want to follow Him and you're trusting Him to change you. As long as you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Him, which means you're trusting in Him, not trusting in yourself, He will be your Lord. And that doesn't mean things are going to be perfect, because He never promises you a panacea, but He does promise you peace in the midst of life's storms. And storms have ebbs and flows.
I'm going to go to this Christian rehab place. It's in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And I'm going to get back on track and straighten out.
Well, do it. And you know, the Lord loves you unconditionally. I mean, that's what's so beautiful about a relationship with the Lord. I mean, He knows. I think about my own life, and I'm a sinner. I have impure thoughts at times. I say the wrong thing. I fail to do some of the things I should do things I shouldn't do. I mean, that's the reality of every human being. And if you don't face that reality, you're not facing reality. So we're all in that same boat in one way or another. That doesn't mean that we can sin with impunity, because there are consequences to sin, and you're finding that out in a dramatic way. But it does mean that the Lord loves you unconditionally, and He will carry you through the deep, dark paths that lay still ahead for all of us. And in the end, He will take us to an eternity where there's no such thing as substance addiction.
I'm going to go on the 4th of this month.
Yeah, go. But make sure you don't go this trip alone. Make sure that you have other people that are standing with you. There are some great people I can refer you to in St. Louis that can perhaps be help to you. Hang on, let me do that for you.
Okay, thank you.
You got it, my friend. I want to go back to the phone lines. I want to talk to Jason next. Jason is listening in Akron, Ohio. Hi, Jason.
How are you?
I'm good.
I just want to say I appreciate your show and your ministry, and God bless you.
Thank you.
I had a quick question about Matthew 24.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading in a respected commentary, just where it says one will be taken, and it says that one will be taken in judgment, and it's not referring to a rapture being taken up. And it just kind of, you know, it's kind of funny that you're mentioning the recording of the Apocalypse Code. I'm going to have to get that, because this and a few other things, I've just kind of gotten turned around on timing of end time events and everything, and just that verse kind of threw me for a loop a little bit, and just want to get your...
No, whoever commentary that was is accurate. That it's exactly right, because if you read this passage, let's do it together. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. So who's taken in that first scenario?
The sinners.
Yes. And that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. So, again, this cannot refer, and certainly does not refer, to a rapture.
So, I mean, is this one of the verses that you would say supports you believe that timetable to where, Christians will be, it almost kind of wipes out the whole pre-trib thing. I mean, if you take that verse for what it really says.
Well, it's not just this verse. If you look at every verse in context that is used for a pre-tribulational rapture, John 14, Tim LaHaye, who probably best represents that movement, he's the most popular pre-tribulational rapturist on the planet today, he would say most of the details are provided in John 14, but if you go to John 14, you don't find any details about a pre-tribulational rapture.
Right.
Same thing with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or he will point to Revelation chapter 3 with the church at Philadelphia. None of those passages make the point. So if you want to find a pre-tribulational rapture, you'd have to find it somewhere else. You don't find it in those passages.
Right. So like for that verse, what is your view of just kind of big picture timing of events with that verse?
I don't think this verse has something to do with the present. It has something to do with the past. Remember that Jesus really makes clear in answer to the questions of disciples when the age of sacrifice will end and what will be the time of his coming in judgment. And he says very clearly, so clearly that it cannot be missed. He says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So he's very clearly pointing to the generation, this generation, and you can't make this generation that generation. In other words, a 21st century generation. That's simply obfuscation of language or playing around with words.
You don't think it almost implies that there will be some Christians that will be remain on earth it's for at least a certain amount of time when Christ returns?
I'm saying that this passage is dealing with a generation. Jesus is giving the time. He's not giving the day or the hour, but he's giving the time. This generation will not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. Jesus Christ is talking. He's answering the questions of the disciples. And the disciples, remember the context of this, and this is why context is so important. Jesus just left the temple, and he's walking away. And remember, he's pronounced Ichabod, as it were, on the temple. And he has said to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who tithe their mint and their cumming, but neglect the weightier matters of the law, he's castigated them. He's called them a brood of vipers. And so he's leaving the temple. He's walking away. His disciples come up to him and call his attention to the building, because he just said that this temple is going to be left desolate. And the disciples, and then Jesus says to the disciples, do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. So Jesus just said that the temple is going to be destroyed. Now remember, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, the temple is the center of your adoration. It is the epitome of your social and your spiritual significance. And now Jesus is saying that temple, that beautiful temple glistening in the sun, is going to be destroyed. So now you think the disciples are talking about what's going to happen in the 21st century. No, they're wondering, when is this going to happen and what will be the sign of your coming? Remember, coming, anyone that's read through the Bible knows that the coming is a clear indication of judgment, right? Because God comes in judgment in the Old Testament, and Jesus, the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets and a greater theologian than them all, is using the language of the Old Testament prophets. He's applying it to Jerusalem, just like the Old Testament prophets applied it to Babylon or Egypt. So they're asking, when will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? They're not talking about the end of the world here, by the way. They're talking about the end of the age and, significantly in context, the age of sacrifice. And Jesus is answering that question directly. I tell you the truth. Verily, verily, he says, I'm telling you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. He's emphatic about this. In fact, so emphatic that the skeptics look at this passage as a prime exemplar that Jesus cannot be God. Because Jesus said, this generation will not pass away. And they, because they don't know how to read the Bible, they think coming means the end of the world. In fact, strangely enough, when they read the words, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Strangely enough, even people like Bart Ehrman, who one would imagine has read through the Bible, doesn't understand this language comes from the Old Testament. It doesn't recognize that this is language, judgment language. He wants to make this end of the world language. Christian wouldn't make that mistake, but he does. And so he uses this very passage, or abuses this very passage, to say Jesus Christ is not divine. Because Jesus said within a generation, all these things will happen. They didn't happen. Well, in fact, they did happen. He just misunderstood the text of Scripture. We have to leave it at that, but again, it's explained in the Apocalypse Code. If you haven't got Has God Spoken, and none of you do, I've got the only copy right now, it can be in the mail to you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for joining us for The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. On today's broadcast, we've mentioned several resources that will help equip you to defend the faith. To order products or listen to the broadcast online, go to our website at equip.org or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, Dr. William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. Order The End of Christianity from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI.
That's 888-7000-274 or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.